community development, and citizen participation. Three interlocking pieces of a puzzle. On Saturday, June 14th, this reporter walked the streets of Cambridge, Massachusetts, and watched while people with very different perspectives tried to sort these pieces out.
For the last 20 years, the National Coalition for the Homeless has been trying to get the government to either stop cutting low-income housing programs on a federal level or cutting back some of the programs. And we've been fighting for that permanent solution to homelessness, which is providing people with safe, decent, affordable housing. And we're right now fighting to prevent the demolition of public housing units in different cities around the country, which even under this administration, they've sacrificed the old principle that when you tear down one home, you have to build a one-to-one replacement, and that's no longer the policy of the federal government.
I met Michael Stoops, a community organizer for the National Coalition for the Homeless, on Mass Ave, the main drag running through Central Square, Cambridge.
The government is not the answer. The private sector is not the answer. Charity is not the answer. Volunteerism is not the answer. But in totality, all those things important together can make a big difference in trying to address any social problem. When we start pointing the finger as to who is the cause of homelessness, rather than pointing the finger always at the Republicans, the Congress, the President, Bob Dole, etc., we need to be pointing the finger at each one of us, because we're all responsible.
Michael Stoops was introduced to me by Pat Seward, a vivacious, articulate woman around 60 years old who lives in a shelter. Pat and I started talking when I walked into the Lucy Parsons bookstore in Central Square. The bookstore is one of a number of small businesses located in a block which may or may not be demolished within the year.
I can tell you my personal feeling about this. I saw Carl's Market leave. I saw Meatland leave. I saw the White Tower go. I saw the Prospect Street Buffet, the Norfolk Cafe, where all the working class men and women went. I saw Coleraine's torn down for parking lot. I saw them, they just moved the tailor out up the street. They took out Store 24, one of the 24-hour stores, down further. The man who ran the hardware store, Central Wall Surplus, is gone. Central Wall Surplus is where people like us bought our clothes. So many people who were born and brought up here moved to Everett, to Somerville, moved further out. And this is black and white and Asian. They have to leave. Or they have to move to another place because they can't afford to pay not just the rent, but the fact that the prices of everything in Central Square have been driven up. And places that are going to be torn down are the places where they do go and where they can buy something reasonable. That at one time, Central Square was a place where the working class lived. They worked in factories. The factories were torn down. And now we have parking lots in their place.
Pat Seward has not lost her taste for battle after a lifetime of struggle. When I asked for her response about recent revelations that Harvard University had bought up a great deal of local property without identifying itself as the buyer, she replied this way.
I think that we ought to get the class of 67, 68, 69, 70 and come back with our fist upraised and yell strike over in Harvard Stadium.
My next stop in Cambridge was at the Senior Center, a few blocks away. There, a meeting called Central Square Envision was in progress. A crowd of about 150 people listened as a coalition of neighborhood and business groups talked about what they believed the future should hold for Central Square.
What were your enforcement priorities? List in order and number them. They were bikes on sidewalks, drug dealing, graffiti, litter, noise, panhandling, public drunkenness, traffic issues, and other. We collated the top three. I will finish collating all of them. But the top three enforcement issues people would like to see worked on were drugs, public drunkenness, and traffic issues. We discussed these in relationship to police visibility, more appropriate activities for youth, giving them things to do in the square, having a malt shop, having arcade, so that part of the perception that Central Square is not safe has to do with the fact that there's groups of kids hanging around. Let the Central Square Business Association or the BID involved in doing more, being more supportive about homeless issues and working with social service agencies, much as Harvard Square has done.
Many folks would like to see a broader range of ethnic food. There are people who want to see the provision of mainstream state food supplies, grocery products, and those who just yearn for a good hamburger in Central Square. Food continues, and if anyone is here who sells a good hamburger, you might want to let them know. Number four, a conversation about what does it mean to try to work towards an appropriate retail mix for Central Square, and there were many helpful suggestions.
One of which is stores not duplicated elsewhere. A very strong preference for local ownership. And then down here, there was a suggestion that, noting that it has been a struggle for many years now to try to recruit and bring in a bookstore that people have asked for the longest time. Well, why not look at the opportunity for community investment in a bookstore?
There was a strong expression in order to make Central Square better serve the people who shop and live here, business owners really have to be mindful of language diversity. And this was a concept that relates more specifically to the Peoria Supreme, but I think it's one that all business owners could be mindful of, and that's that there are lots of languages spoken in Central Square, and if you want to do business here and you want to attract broadly our population, you need to provide an opportunity for them to speak to you.
There's a desire that when things are built in Central Square, that there be a careful design review with lots of community input, and we talked a little bit about the process that's in place now.
As I left the meeting, I began to hear more and more clearly the sounds of demonstrators marching outside the senior center. They were chanting, "Save Central Square, no demolition." The demonstration was organized by the groups Homes Not Jails and Food Not Bombs, which were in the midst of a weekend gathering they called the Homestead 97 Conference, a weekend of workshops, speakers, and discussions. Today the group had planned the demonstration as well as some street theater in response to the Central Square Envision meeting. Gentleman is holding a large bomb. Looks like it's a kind of a green turquoise bomb, and there's a skeleton on it, and it says Central Square 2000 with a question mark. It's got Gap sticker and Starbucks coffee, and I guess it's not too hard to see the symbolism in there.
Well, people might think that I want to bomb Central Square. Well, you know, it depends on what's being made. I'm not totally against demolition. Demolition might happen, and it might be good. Who knows? But the way it's being talked about is very one-sided, and this Central Square advisory board that has been picked by Healy to weigh in on the subject, you know these guys are going to vote the way Healy wants.
It was Ian McKinnon who wore the bomb on his head, and he explained a little bit about Cambridge city government from his own perspective.
Over here in Cambridge, we have a city council, and then we have the city manager, and he's managing the destruction of a National Historic District. I mean, Central Square was recognized, I think it was 1990, as a National Historic District. I mean, regardless of whether somebody's just selling cheap shoes in what appears to be a rundown storefront, that might have more meaning than you might suspect. So if this thing comes through the way it's written, you can definitely expect more of the same, because it's the wedge. And this is why this protest is so important, even if I think a lot of people might say these hippies and anarchists and activists, they're all from out of town, because it so happens that Homestead is a festival that's going on this weekend, sponsored by Homes Not Jails. So, but the fact is, this is a national issue, and that's why we should be proud that people are here from Pittsburgh or New York to say it's happening in our towns too, and they feel just as comfortable protesting here as anywhere this stuff is happening. And if it can't be stopped in Central Square, Cambridge, Massachusetts, where can it be stopped?
While Morgan Andrews organized the Homes Not Jails theatrics, I took stock of some of the characters gathered in front of Cambridge City Hall.
Sir Jackass, Knight of Shoplifting, is wearing a faux fur coat, lovely goggles, and a cardboard castle hat.
This cooperative supermarket.
Okay.
The Harvest Co-op down the street, although this one's not as pretty.
It's a cardboard reconstruction of the cooperative supermarket.
And who else do we have?
And a small cardboard collective-run alternative bookshop.
Similar to the Lucy Parsons Book Center.
So Morgan is soliciting volunteers for the smaller, more independent local enterprises.
It's a completely volunteer
spaceman with a Starbucks coffee will destroy your neighborhood sign.
Okay. I was thinking about the concept of
a Japanese science fiction monster.
What is tomorrow?
Borders union busting bookstore will destroy your neighborhood.
No, it's a shopping center, an open-ended shopping center.
The sign that says, "We love the Golden Donut." So, in other words, the entire neighborhood is being recreated.
You moved here from another country.
Here in front of Cambridge City Hall. Several gentlemen wearing suits, albeit wrinkled with sneakers. Smoking cigars, offering up cigars to the crowd. Giant monster wearing a Gap sign.
I just want to make one thing clear.
Dinosaur.
The two big battle monsters normally fight on the side of good, but today they are play acting just as these people are play acting.
He is smashing and kicking the inexpensive quality clothing store. Thrashing it, and smashing and thrashing as the crowd,
the inexpensive quality clothing,
half laughing, boos.
Once the destruction was complete, the crowd started to chant, "We won't let our neighborhood fall, we don't need another mall. Following this, a few speakers addressed the crowd. Among them was Reverend Doug Whitlow of the Christian Brothers of Cambridge.
We don't want this project over here. There's too many poor people now that have been pushed out of their apartments in this city that are on the streets. As every time we walk through Central Square, we know who the homeless and the poor are because of the gentrification and because of the loss of rent control. We must stop this project. We must stop it.
All right.
So if you believe and if you're behind me, raise your hand and say, "Stop it now! We will not let it go on!"
After his speech, I talked with Reverend Whitlow.
Same number of people over the past few years?
Well, the numbers have tripled since I've been here. I've been in Cambridge resident since 1991. And since I've been here, I've seen at least a tripling of the people who utilize the services around the corner. There's CEOC, the St. Paul's AME Food Pantry, and some of the other services that are offered here in the city.
Would you say that some of these people are what we once would have called middle-class people?
Yes. I would say that. So I know three couples that are now on the streets of Cambridge who, in fact, were viable working people, but when rent control was lifted, their rents would triple to $13.50 a month. And these are people who both were working, earning about $1,500 a month. So I think the mathematics is very simple there.
Reverend Whitlow said that because of restricted state mandates, his group does not apply for grants. He believes that if his views were not so outspoken, he probably could get grants.
I have a friend in the State House who was trying to help us get some money, and she's saying if I would not speak out against rent control, I would probably get something.
And what?
Because I've been speaking out against the loss of rent control, we haven't gotten a grant at all.
Old buildings, they don't tear down everything.
The next speaker was Reverend Vernon Carter, Little Arrow.
And I saw urban renewal destroy my hometown where I was brought up, and the only thing left there that reminds me of the area that I was born in, New Bedford, is a tree that I used to play marbles at as a little kid. And I want to say to you now that demolition and all action on demolition should stop now.
That's right.
And the entire community called in, and all the small business people involved call in and sit down and have a confab before anything goes on further.
The day was far from over, but in a sense all sides had by this time been heard from. Those who wanted to preserve Central Square more or less as it exists, those who want the bottom line to rule, and those who want change but want it to be closely monitored by the community. There will be winners and losers in this process, but whether the greatest good for the most people actually comes to pass or not may be more the result of a process that Reverend Vernon Carter Little Arrow described to me after his speech than it is of politics.
If we can relate to each other, we cannot have a community. And that means more of relationship of each other than the profit system that now is being created. The profit system in our economy is so heavy that it destroys our individuality. So I'm for preserving our social relationships rather than to have high rises and mauling and all that sort of thing. That's all I have to say.
This report was prepared by Steve Provisor of Radio Free Allston.